This morning I'm going to start the first of a two-part message entitled Gold Medal Fathers, Gold Medal Dads. And I don't know if marrying off your first child has anything to do with it or not, but it made me do some introspection as a dad. How have I done? What are my regrets? What do I wish I would have did different? How can I improve? Have I been lax in being a dad? I don't know how many of you ever drove a tractor with a clutch. We have a tractor we do bedding with, and you sit there for a while and let the bedding chop out, and you got to hold the clutch in, and you know, you're holding that clutch in, and then after a while the tractor starts going if you're not paying attention. What happened? I had my clutch pushed in. But what happened? You pushed it in, and gradually, less pressure and less pressure and less pressure until the tractor starts moving. And you go in a direction you don't want to go. And I think so many times that's the way it is for us as dads. We have a heavy responsibility. And if we're not on top of our game every day, we put less pressure and less attention on being a dad. And things start heading in a direction that we don't want to go. You may say this is not June 20th or Father's Day, but I believe being a dad is such an important role that we need to be reminded more than once a year. We need daily reminders of the seriousness of our responsibility as dads. You may say, I'm not a dad, what's in it for me? What's in it for me this morning? Well, I pray that as you listen, the Spirit will speak to your hearts in some areas we talk about this morning. There's a lot laid on our shoulders to maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ of our own, and to care for our wife and children, if God's blessed us with. Provide strong leadership for our families, for our wives and our children, and to protect our homes from the enemy. You notice when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden in Genesis 3, when they hid themselves and God came in and walked in the garden, God didn't say, Eve, where are you? He said, Adam, where are you? I can just picture humorously in the bushes where they were, Adam poking Eve. Eve, answer him. It was your fault. But God walked into the garden and said, Adam, where are you? Adam's responsible. Dads, men, we are responsible in our homes to carry out the mission of imparting godly truth and wisdom into our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to emphasize the emphasis on train. To train our children, it's intentional. It just doesn't happen to train up our children. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 11. Read a number of verses there, 18 to 23. The children of Israel were to guard and purposefully train to keep the enemy out of their homes and their lives. Therefore, ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign upon your hand, that they may be the frontlets before your eyes. And ye shall teach them, your children, speaking to them when thou art sitting in thine house, when thou art walking by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and that your days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, and do them, to love the Lord your God, and walk in all the ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations, greater than yourselves. Now go with me to 2 Timothy, chapter 3, Read verse 1 through 9. This also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of sort are they which crept into the house and led captive silly women laden with sin, led them away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now let's go to verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou knowest the holy scriptures, which are able to make sure thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to emphasize this morning the responsibility to train those God has entrusted to us. The children of Israel were instructed to train their children when they're sitting down, when they're rising up, when they're walking. In other words, everywhere they go, all day long, be instructing, be examples of God to them. And to keep all the evil out of their houses, out of their homes, that the promises of God would be fulfilled, that he would prosper them in the land. And I believe the same principle applies today as dads in our homes and responsibility to train and teach our children the ways of truth. There's a lot of pressures on us in our world, and we need to equip our children with the truth, the knowledge of the truth. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly." Are we imparting godly truth to our children as dads? How are we doing? I want to break into three areas this morning. And then the second part of this sermon will be a little more practical of leading our wives and our children. The first point is, Dad, you're irreplaceable. Did you ever observe two men meeting for the first time, or maybe you experienced it yourself? You go up and meet someone, you shake their hand, how are you, da-da-da, nice day, sunny weather. And before long, what's the question that comes up? What do you do? What do you do for work? It's something that identifies us. It's something that we find significance in, we find purpose in. But you know, you can be replaced. If you quit your job tomorrow, sure, they may miss you. Some may not miss you. But you can be replaced. And someone will pick up where you left off or try to pick up where you left off. Life will go on. But you know, dads, you're irreplaceable. You're irreplaceable. You know, a mom can compensate, or an uncle or someone can step into the life of a child and compensate a little bit. But it's never going to be the same as having dad. You have great power in the lives of your family members. The words you say can bring life, or the words you say can bring death. Criticism can ruin their day and crush their spirits. Dad, you have an awesome responsibility to speak life into your children. I know some people think it's my responsibility to bring in the money, and it's the wife's responsibility to teach and train the children. I don't believe Scripture teaches that at all. A father's impact on children is incredible. Embrace that truth. Embrace that opportunity. Embrace that mandate as a dad. Fatherhood's a role which you're never going to be out of a job, never going to be terminated, never going to be canned, never going to be shelved, never going to be given a pink slip. God's giving you that responsibility. It may change as they get older, but God has given you an awesome responsibility. And even if you find yourself in a tough situation where things may not be going as very well with you and your children, don't give up. The devil may be throwing things in your path to discourage you, but take heart. You hold a special place in your child's life. Researchers have shown, as they've interviewed children across the world, that dad is an incredible place in a child's heart. Dad is an incredible place in a child's heart. Don't take it for granted. We have a lasting impact on our children's lives, either for good or for bad. I want to take you back to one of the foundational principles or verses that talks about the fathers. In Malachi 4:6, we probably all know it, talks about turning the hearts of the fathers to their children. I believe this talks about a relationship that is broken. It talks about something that is wrong and needs to be corrected. You know, we just don't by default be good dads. We just don't by default be a good dad. It takes work. It takes being intentional. It doesn't just happen. And I believe when our hearts are truly turned towards our children, that we'll do the simple things that may seem mundane but that are important to them, that mean a lot to children. And it'll be much easier for them to turn their hearts to us. It may be throwing ball. It may be rolling on the floor with your children. It may be helping with their homework. It may be listening to them after a hard day at school. Little things are important to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. The second thing I want to look at is change is hard. Change is hard. As fathers, we do well to admit that we have not arrived. I have not arrived. I'm standing up here in front of my family. They know I haven't arrived. We all have room to improve. I think we do well as dads to do it in our minds mentally or physically write down. We all have come from homes that have not been perfect. None of us have come from a perfect home. We all have things that in our home was good and great. I think we need to make a list of those things, of things that we appreciate about our home, about our upbringing, and write them down and commit ourselves to try to keep them as part of our home. And there may be some things in your home that weren't as should be, and you can write them down and purpose in your heart to make it be different in your home. But you know what? It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. I'll tell you a story about just a little illustration about what I don't know if it is today, but at one point it was the world's biggest warship, the USS Nimitz, if I'm saying it right, the USS Nimitz. It's a nuclear-powered big boat. It's 1,092 feet long. The flight deck covers 4.5 acres. Some of our houses don't even sit on our homes aren't even 4.5 acre lots. It weighs 100,000 tons. It can go 35 miles an hour. And it can go 1,000,000 miles on one gas tank, one diesel tank, one fuel tank. But one thing it cannot do is turn on a dime. If a man fell overboard, it would take 1 to 2 miles before it could even begin to navigate to turn around. You know, I think our families are like those aircraft carriers. We're heading in a direction, and it's hard to change course. It's hard for us to change course of our direction. Dad, you're the captain of the ship. You're the captain of that boat. And at times our tasks as dads are overwhelming. We feel overwhelmed with all of our responsibilities. Some of you may think your ship is moving so fast that you can't turn it around. You can't make a move. Life's just moving at a rapid speed and change seems unable to happen. Others feel locked into a certain course. They feel unable to change. I can't change it. What can I do about it? Still others see their ship headed for the rocky shore and certain destruction. They want to do something about it. Where's your ship at this morning? As captain of your ship, where do you find yourself? I believe as dads, we need to look at our families and look at our lives and say, what changes do I need to make? And be intentional about doing those changes, keeping those changes. Don't be like the story of a man I read. He was an insurance agent, and he was making lots of money. And the more time he put into his business, the more money he made. And the more money he made, the less time he was at home. Until it got to the place where they put when he would come home, the children would run to the family portrait to make sure it was the same man. That was a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek there. But one night they came home from church, and they were in bed, and the electrical storm came and struck their house. The lightning bolt struck their house, went into their electric circuits, and started a fire in their house. He was separated from his family, didn't know if they made it out. Finally, he realized that they were safe and he was safe. And he said that was the Lord's way of getting his attention. Things needed to change. When he saw that his family had made it out of the house, it just rocked got his attention that, hey, life needs to change for him. So I think we need to be diligent and say, how can I change my course? Does it need changed? And in what areas does it need changed? We just came through the Olympics, and there was a lot of father-child relationship stories. I'm not sure how many there were, but there's a number of even fathers with their coaches. And how they helped determine or helped focus all their energies to win a medal or try to win a medal. And their goal was to focus on their child or whatever the relationship was, to reach their full potential as a child. And as dads, I see that as our responsibility to help our children, number one, to be a picture of Jesus to them, and number two, help them to fulfill who God has called them to be. I like the picture in Matthew 3:16 where it talks about our Heavenly Father. When Jesus was being baptized, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. And at that moment, he saw heaven open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting on him, and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. A picture of the Father input into the Son's life before he started his mission. I'm thankful for the Spirit God gives each of us to guide us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to convict us. You know, as dads, it's our responsibility to show the character of God to our children, to be models of God to them, to live a life so compelling for Jesus that they want to have Jesus in their hearts, so they can learn to trust Abba Father as their Lord and Savior and guide them through their lives. You know, we've been given little treasures. Each of us who are dads have been given little treasures that will spend eternity somewhere. Dad, we have an awesome responsibility to model the way. They're looking to us and they're saying, show me the way. And you are the irreplaceable figure in their lives. And you know, we've got one shot. We've got one shot at this. We must be intentional. And I think we need to live a life led by the Spirit so that they'll want to have Jesus in their hearts to coach them, to be their guide. The third thing is modeling, being a model. Two quick scenarios of modeling. There could be many. We model in so many ways. And they have such great impact on our children's lives. Probably every one of you dads owns a socket set. And probably every one of you dads, if it hasn't happened, it will. One of your angelic beings will come and take your socket set and not put it back. I've never done that. My dad's here. He can vouch for that. It's happened more than once. You'll be in a hurry. You got to fix something. You want to assemble something. You go to where you always put your socket set. Notice where you always put your socket set. We never make mistakes. We always put things back. But you go to where it's supposed to be, and lo and behold, as you're whistling on your way to get the socket set, you find that the socket set's gone. She thought it was funny. Perhaps even worse, you get there, your socket set is there, but you open it up, and the exact socket you want is missing. Now you're faced with a dilemma. The socket set may be there, the socket's gone, you're in a hurry, you want to fix something, and it's not there. What's a natural tendency to do? Who took my socket? Where's it at? You run to your children, you blame, you whatever. You have two choices at that time. One of them can turn into a bad scenario if you lose your temper, or you can turn into something good and you can keep your composure and exhibit self-control. If you lose your temper, you start fussing and fuming and stomping around and accusing, and you probably get the picture. I believe you lose a little piece of yourself. You lose a little piece of authority, your credibility as a father. And if your children are small, they're probably frightened at the scene Dad's making. But if your children are older, it gives them permission to lose their cool when they face a moment of frustration. Plus, in the future, when your child's frustrated at the same scenario, you say, calm down, calm down. You say, right, Dad. Practice what you preach. But the socket's still missing, and you're frustrated. A teachable moment for you and your children. What do you do? Here's a little thing I was to think through. Breathe a prayer. Lord, I need you right now. Just breathe a prayer. No extra words, no yelling, no throwing, no stomping. Then you walk through the shop, the house, and ask your children, has anyone seen my socket set? Was anybody using my socket set? Don't expect an answer. But if you do, it will be, not me. Or it may be, well, I didn't touch it. At that point, what do? Do you accuse or do you keep control? I've done it, and you may have too. You lose your temper, you lose control, and you're filled with regret and remorse. Or you can remain controlled and trust God for your strength. And it can be a beautiful thing. It's a teachable moment. You're modeling something to your children. Keeping control accomplishes a number of things. First, you get their attention. Second, they take you seriously. Third, they may actually stir their little brain cells to think, where is that socket set? And fourth, you may find where you put your socket set. This applies not only to socket sets, but cell phones, other wrenches, flashlights, TV remotes, road maps, scissors, the sports section. Must I need to say more? You're modeling to your children how to deal with frustration. You can talk to your blue in the face, but when they see you model it, it sinks in, either for good or for bad. The second little scenario is a sporting event. You're at a sporting event, a baseball game, volleyball game, whatever it is, football game. What are you modeling for your children? What do your children see? I'm not going to go into any scenarios, but I just wanted you to answer a few questions in your mind. What example am I setting? My son is watching. He knows he needs to know what kind of a man to aspire to be. Number two, how does a real man act? My daughter is watching because she knows needs to know what to expect from men. Number three, my child's friends, classmates, and teammates, some of them may not have a father at home and they're watching. What kind of father am I teaching them? Or what am I teaching them about being a father? And let me take it one step deeper. In a world of uncertain times, when things seem out of control and children are looking for security, in intense situations, can they find it in you? Can they find security in you as in dads? Can they see how you handle life, how you handle pressure, how you handle change, how you handle things that come up that aren't expected? The camcorder of their mind is ever running. Like a map maker, their reference points chart their discoveries. And their most significant reference point is you as dads. You are their reference point. How do I handle victories? How do I handle defeats? Occasionally we see our children imitating us. It's kind of cute when they're on the floor trying to do push-ups. It's pretty funny watching them do push-ups. Or getting a plastic razor and imitating dad's shave. That's pretty amusing. But what about when you're in a traffic jam and the boy in the back seat yells something that you may have yelled at one point? Or how about when the stakes get higher, when they get older, your children make moral choices. They're making relationship choices. They're making driving choices. Lifelong decisions. What have you as a dad modeled for them about how to handle life? Children learn more from watching than they do listening. Every day, in hundreds of ways, we communicate to our children, follow me. I'm your dad. This presents a dilemma or an opportunity. It will provide a reference point for our children of what a dad is, for better or for worse. It's an opportunity to be intentional and to instruct our children in what it means to follow Christ and to be a godly example. Give them a picture of Abba Father. in the back of their mind, they're saying, Dad, I need you to show me the way. I need you to give me a picture. Dads, you're on the stage every day of your life. In so many ways, you give a lasting impressions with lasting consequences. What is your life telling your children? Your relationships, about your relationships with God, with their mother, with other people, with people in the church, in the community. Next part of this message I want to go into, your relationship with our wives and with our sons and daughters individually. But this morning I want to leave this with you as captain of your ship. Which direction is your ship heading? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our Father, for the example you are to us, for your loving faithfulness to us. And Lord, we as dads try to imitate you to our children, and to the world, Lord, we've not always done well. We've made a mess sometimes. Lord, our children are crying out for example, for security. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to take a good look at our lives. And Lord, speak to us to areas we need to improve and need to change and need to be intentional about changing. Lord, the consequences are lifelong and eternal. Lord, we recognize that our children have choices. The ability to choose, and we may do our best, and they may choose otherwise. Lord, we commit them to you. Continue to pursue and call them to yourself. Lord, thanks for your faithfulness and love for us. We thank you for the example you are to us. May we be that to our children. In Jesus' name, amen.